Radio Network, broadcasting live from the bunker in north central Indiana, right next to Terrible Tony's Terrible Tavern, where the elite meet to eat, but mostly eat drink. Also nearby is Terrible Tony's Weapons of Mass Destruction Used Equipment Yard, where you can purchase a freshly refurbished weapon of mass destruction for pennies on the dollar, if the price is right. You can reach Tom at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. Address your letters and mail to Tom Metzger, the insurgent, just plain old box holder. Good old Tommy will get it.
Yes, sir, you got the right place. This is the bunker right here in north central Indiana, where the corn is beginning to come up, and the wheat will beginning to come up, and the trees are starting to get some leaves on them, and my lawn is growing like mad. Oh, man, it's the Arab Spring, just in time for all the farmers to run out there and put all that Monsanto Roundup, which is causing birth defects and kidney failures and so forth in other countries, and probably the same thing's happening here. Down in South America, Central America, there's hundreds, maybe thousands of these workers that are working in the sugar cane and stuff, and they're using this Roundup or byproducts of Monsanto's Roundup that are getting kidney diseases and everything else, and they don't have enough medical facilities in those countries even to treat them. Isn't it wonderful? Monsanto, the killer. Killed in Vietnam. Remember Agent Orange? Killed probably a million Vietnamese. And it's still killing them. And it killed a whole lot of GIs, you know, Americans, you know, white ones, you know, and black ones too. So, anyhow, it's spring and they'll be out there spraying that stuff all over the place. Now, fortunately, there's quite a bit of barrier of non-planted ground between me and where this stuff's going to be. But still, it's, as far as I'm concerned, too close. Anyhow, if you don't know about this stuff and don't know what a criminal outfit Monsanto is, wake up. Wake up and smell the coffee. Well, I see our delinquent up there in Leith finally got the axe yesterday. Oh, yeah. 26 restrictions on him. I haven't read them all, but I can imagine. And he's not going to be able to have contact with anybody else in the struggle unless he wants to violate his parole, and they'll throw him right in mainline prison. And they put a radio bracelet on him, too. He's got to wear that for 4 years. And he told him he wants to go down to Missouri, if Missouri will accept him. I think that's where, in VNN down in Missouri? Well, he goes down there, goes anyplace, and hooks up with one of these right-wing outfits. They're going to throw him in prison for several years. I have finally given up my empathy for any right winger that gets in trouble. I can't waste my empathy on the stupidity of the right wing. I've always tried to help people out, still helping people out, but I'm very discreet and very specific on the guidelines of who I'm going to help. Now, I didn't send a lot of money to Greg Cobb. I sent a little money. Sent him a telephone card and sent him a couple of good law books, which I know he never opened. He could not possibly have read the book I sent him, the one book for sure, and did play it out like he did. He couldn't possibly. So that was a waste of my money. And I sent him a piece of body armor when he was saying that they were the natives up there were getting violent towards him long before they walked down the street with their unloaded guns. So that's I'll never see that again. So I'm through with, if you can't get your other foot out of the muck and mire of the right wing, I don't want anything much to do with you, and I don't want you crying to me when you get your ass in the jam, because it's no matter how much I try to advise people, I believe correctly, based upon a lot of experience, when they come out of the right wing, they just don't listen. And so that's it. My empathy bottle is empty. Well, there's still some empathy there, but it's going to be specifically for people who deserve it. If I get any notion that they're still getting advice, whatever that is, from the right wing, forget it. You're on your own. So anyhow, I just want to let you know that. And so if you do something stupid, so totally out of what I've advised over the years, and get in a big jam, don't come to me. Don't come to me. Well, yesterday I talked about some movies, anti-war movies. I think you should push these anti-war movies as much as possible. I talked about the Red Badge of Courage, and one of our supporters said he was glad I mentioned that, because that was a great movie about the Civil War. Well, I was wrong. It wasn't the Red Badge of Courage that I was talking about, and it may be a great movie. I probably watched it, but I don't recall. But the movie I'm talking about is Paths of Glory with Kirk Douglas. That's one of the most stark, scary, angry movies I've ever watched. It takes place during the First World War, and it's about the French. And well, let me play a little clip from it here to get you a little bit into it. This is the generals, you know, all upper class, talking about what they're going to do. And I think you'll get the message.
General Douglas.
Hello, George. How are you?
Wonderful seeing you again. Really wonderful. Well, this is superb.
Well, I tried to create a pleasant atmosphere in which to work.
Well, you succeeded marvelously. I wish I had your taste in carpets. And pictures.
They are much too kind, George. Much too kind.
Well, sit down, George.
Thank you.
I really haven't done very much. The place is much the same as it was when I moved in. Paul, I've come to see you about something big. It's top secret. It must go no further than your chief of staff, and not to him, unless you can trust his discretion.
Of course.
A group of armies is forming on this front for an offensive very soon. Headquarters is determined to make a complete breakthrough.
Why are you smiling? I'm really sorry. I thought for just a moment I knew what you were going to say. Please go on.
I never knew you were a mind reader. What did you think I was about to say?
Something about the anthill.
You are a mind reader.
Well, it is a key position. It's in my sector. To be perfectly honest, I've had some talk. You know, there's nothing really secret around headquarters.
Well, what do you think?
Well, it's the key to the whole German position in this sector. They've held on to it for a year now, and it looks as though they'll hold on to it for another year if they want to.
Paul, I have formal orders to take the anthill no later than the 10th, as the day after tomorrow.
That comes pretty close to being ridiculous, don't you think?
I don't imagine I'd be here if I really thought that. Paul, if there's one man in this army who can do this for me, it's you.
It's out of the question, George. Absolutely out of the question. My division was cut to pieces. What's left of it is in no position to even hold the anthill, let alone take it. I'm sorry, but that's the truth.
Well, Paul, there was something else I wanted to tell you. However, I'm sure that you'll misunderstand my motives in mentioning it.
What was it?
Oh, you'll be bound to misunderstand. However, as your friend, maybe I should tell you.
What are you trying to say, George?
Paul, the talk around headquarters is that you are being considered for the 12th Corps.
The 12th Corps?
Yes, and with that another star. Now I've pushed it all I can. The 12th Corps needs a fighting general, and you're overdue in that star. We both know that your record is good enough for you to refuse this assignment on the grounds you've stated. No one would question your opinion. It's simply get someone else to do the job. So, you shouldn't let this influence your opinion, Paul.
Oh, I'm sorry. Have a cognac?
No, thanks, Paul. Not before dinner.
George, I'm responsible for the lives of 8,000 men. What is my ambition against that? What is my reputation in comparison to that? My men come first of all, George. And those men know it, too.
I know that they do.
You see, George, those men know that I would never let them down.
That goes without saying.
The life of one of those soldiers means more to me than all the stars and decorations and honors in France.
So,
you think this attack is absolutely beyond the ability of your men at this time?
I didn't say that, George. Nothing is beyond those men once their fighting spirit is aroused.
Well, Paul, I don't want to push you into it if you think it's ill-advised.
Don't worry, George. You couldn't do that if you tried. Of course, artillery would make an enormous difference. What artillery support can you give me?
Well, I'll see.
What about replacements?
We'll see what we can do, but I feel sure that you can get along with what you have.
Might just do it.
Oh, Paul, I knew that I was right to come to you. You are the man to take the anthill.
Now, as far as that star is concerned,
I have nothing to do with my decision. If anything, you're swaying the other way.
I realize that perfectly, Paul.
Now, when do you say you'll see this coming off?
No later than the day after tomorrow.
Well, that was the big shots in this big, beautiful palace that they had taken over there in France or someplace over there in the Western Front. And it goes along, and the supporting officers say, this is ridiculous. It's not going to work. It can't be done. He's wanting to get that other star, so they throw every man he has into taking this impregnable German position called the anthill. And then when it fails and they fall back, the high command decides someone has to pay the price, so they pick one person, one soldier out of each division that was involved in the attack, the failed attack, not by any evidence of cowardice at all, but just a person, a warm-blooded person. And they proceed to try him for cowardice and then execute them. And this is a film that you really, if you haven't seen it in a long time, you should. One of Kirk Douglas's best films. This film, Cross of Iron, for those Hitler worshippers out there, I think you definitely should watch it, and have a lot of the young people want to dress up like German soldiers and march around the courthouse. I think you need to watch this film. It's James Coburn is a star. James Mason's in it, but it shows that terrible conditions that the German Wehrmacht went through on the Eastern Front. And it doesn't pull any punches. It's not a pro-Hitler movie. But it's not coming from the Jew point of view. It's just coming from a soldier's point of view. So anyhow, should collect those kind of movies and watch them yourself and then show them to these young kids. If you got young boys or young girls even, they should watch these films, because they're stoking it up again. We got all these Republicans mainly, and a lot of Democrats too, congressmen and senators running around waving their arms about war. We got to put missiles right around Russia and the sealer in there, and NATO's got to move right in and be real close. Got like a played yesterday, governors going over to Europe talking about war preparations and stuff like that. Well, what the hell's a governor got to do with that? I mean, you know, bad enough that we've got that idiot Secretary of State who is a total moron, and he recently almost got his tit in the ringer on saying offhandedly that things might turn into apartheid situation over there in Israel and Palestine, which he came back and everybody worked their ass off to clean up that statement, because, and then all the right wing, the non-Democrats, were using it, going crazy on Fox TV. Oh my God, he said something critical of Israel. What are we going to do now? Netanyahu's going to be absolutely livid. And he might say that we don't love the United States anymore. And then think of all the letters you're going to get from the Christ Insanity Judaized Christians in this country. The Hagies and all them. How dare you criticize Israel? How dare you, man? Jeez. And we talked yesterday about that this fellow said that there were 55% of the Chinese were anti-Jew, and there are no Jews in China. That's not true. There's been Chinese Jews in China for 1,000 years, and more than 1,000 years. There's synagogues that exist in China that they go back a long, long time. And don't forget, when the Mongols overrun China back in the day, they didn't have the ability to handle the administration. I mean, these were just cavalry marauding troops. They didn't know how to run the government, so they brought in Jews to help them. If you didn't know that, you haven't done your homework. So way back at the time of the Mongol invasions of China, the Jews appeared. And so, for those people who say there are no Chinese Jews, and they used to make fun of George Lincoln Rockwell when he talked about it, but it's a matter of history. It's not a secret. So anyhow, there are Chinese Jews, and then you got the Sassoon family that's equivalent to the Rockefellers that are in Europe. The Sassoons have this major control in Asia. I haven't heard too much about them lately, but they're out there. Now I'm going to have to get Red Badge of Courage and remind myself, but I'm sure it's a great anti-war movie, because it's thousands of white northerners and thousands of white southerners thrown against each other, marching side by side like the British did at Concord, and getting mowed down with these cannons and shooting chains and everything, cutting people in half and a whole bit. When you going to learn, white man, you don't win anything going to war. If you got a war for defense, absolute defense, you're being invaded, that's one thing. Otherwise, war is very bad for the white race. And do your best to talk down this anti-Russian sentiment, too. They're not putting all the news about the Russian situation out there. Anything that might be favorable to the Russians. The only place where you can get anything close to that, of course, is on the Internet or Russia Today. They have some pretty good commentary on there, crosstalk and so forth. And so it's not perfect either, of course. But I don't watch network news anymore. I mean, you know, I feel like I'm an idiot if I watch it. But I'll watch some of these shows on Russia TV, and they're pretty good. Of course, the people over there are astounded at the stupidity of the bulk of the American people. The white people I'm talking about. I'm not even talking about blacks. The immense, absolute stupidity and cowardice of the white American population. And all of a sudden they're making a big deal about sexual assaults, especially on the campuses of universities. Yeah. But you know what they're not telling you? It's just like they're not telling you about street crime. They don't identify, in most cases, the attacker racially. And so as more and more non-whites get onto these university campuses, especially blacks, the more and more they're going to get close enough to assault white women. Because they're used to assaulting women, their own women in the ghetto. And the white young girls are sent to college. Oh, you must think equality. We must love our neighbor nigger. And they're just people like you. We're equal. And they think just like you do. And so if they ask you for a date, well, you got to be a good Christian and go out with them and the whole bit. And so then they get attacked and brutalized, maybe murdered and raped and the whole bit. And you see, I don't understand it. I was so nice to that man. And he seemed like such a nice boy that I went with him. And even after all that, they don't connect the dots. But you can hear these politicians. I heard the vice president going on and on on about how you can't attack a woman just the way she dresses, and you can't do this, and if she says no. Most of these politicians, you're finding out, are perverts. And they attack women, they rape women, the whole bit. I mean, you see it all the time. There's a couple of them in the news right now. And one, they found thousands of pieces of porno on his computer. Now, these are your leaders. These are your leaders. So, I don't know. It's going to be painstaking to get the figures of and who committed the crimes, but it would be good if we could get as many of these sexual assaults, the information about the non-whites that are doing it. Not that whites don't do it too, but never to the extent. And with the rise of non-white students on the campus, sexual assaults are going through the roof. Do you think there's a connection? Oh, maybe. The lone wolves out there sent us an email about this Sterling situation. And I'll read to you what he said. And then I'm going to play this from this renegade progressive, Mike Malloy. And he's pretty well right on the thing. And even though he's not our friend racially, I mean, but there's quite a bit of logic to it, because, you know, it's amazing, this Sterling. I said to my gal, I said, well, wait a minute, how does this make him a racist? Because he said, you can bring your black friends into your bedroom here at the house. You can drink with them, you can do everything with them, but just please don't bring these guys with you to the ball game. Now, that, I think they're really making a stretch there to call that the kind of racism that they want to call it. The guys, you can even bring these black guys in and have sex in the bedroom. So, anyhow, here's what our friend said. I know we all have more important things to be concerned with, but I'd like to weigh in on the Donald Sterling NBA controversy. As we all know, the NBA, Nigger Ball Association, is run by Jews. Yeah, most professional sports is. I suspect they destroyed the boxing sport way back. I suspect they wanted to get rid of Sterling for a long time because his team, the Clippers, was not generating enough revenue for the NBA. So they paid Sterling's gold-digging slope girlfriend to provoke Sterling into making a few so-called offensive remarks about Negroes secretly and illegally, recording these remarks and then used them as an excuse to get rid of Sterling. Of course, he will be replaced by another Jew. But the replacement Jew will be someone who can make the Clippers turn a profit for his fellow tribesmen. Does that sound plausible to you? Yes, it does, even though I don't know jack about professional sports because I never watch it. But in all fairness, why shouldn't Sterling have a negative attitude toward blacks? After all, he knows exactly what they're really like, being the owner of a team that's full of them. And I'm sure those black ball players have made more than their fair share of racist and sexist comments in the locker room. Such pathetic hypocrisy. I'd also like to know your views on the crisis in the Ukraine. I think the Zionist Jews and their Gentile flunkies are responsible for it. Of course they were. The CIA, Washington, D.C., the military-industrial complex. That's Tommy interjecting myself. I would say that their plan is to villainize and discredit Vladimir Putin so that the Jews can eventually renew the attack against the Russian-backed Assad government in Syria. What do you think? Thanks as always, and I'll leave his name out of it. Well, you got to remember, like I always say, follow the money. When the Soviet Union was split off and the West went their way and the Soviet Union became a virtual prison camp, it took the competition from the Soviet Union out of the picture, pretty much economically, even though there was some trade, of course, but still, these things usually start with trade wars. Or behind the scenes, it's something about trade and money. Maybe in this case, it's Russia's got a pretty good stack of gold over there. They got a lot of oil. They got a lot of gas. And they have spigots over there. They can turn off natural gas and so forth that they're shipping into Europe. So the United States, not the United States, I mean, we're talking about this capitalista, fascist state, predatory capitalist state, military industrial complex state. They worry about things like that. They want to have absolute control. That's why they have kept that NATO, crazy NATO thing going. And so anyhow, there you go. And power and money. And they'll use other reasons to inflame the issue. That's what they always do. That they'll use some other issue to inflame it. But behind the scenes, it's all about money and power. The EU versus the Russians, and so forth, like that. And the United States is trying to keep the Europeans in line, which is going to be very difficult. Because in many cases, they have less and less reasons to dance with the Washington, Western European countries. So now you got all these countries around the world that are lining up with Russia, including China. So military-industrial complex, are they ready to take on a united China and Russia together? Are you kidding? Shades of Adolf Hitler with a stupid invasion of the Soviet Union, Operation Barbarossa, which sealed the fate. Instead of working peacefully with the Soviet Union and holding their nose about Stalin and building a tremendous empire, they threw it all away. I don't think it was by accident either. The more I research the Third Reich and Soviet Union, all that, the more and more I'm coming to some very interesting conclusions that are not going to make Hitler lovers very happy. Anyhow, I'm going to play this. Mike Malloy goes off on this too. He's not a big sports fan either, not a sports fan at all. But he's correct on the hypocrisy of the white leadership and the white news, because it is. Right wing, oh, it's all the Jews in the press. Look, there are thousands of non-Jews in the press and the networks too. And so anyhow, let's listen to this and take it in the vein it's given.
Expect their phone calls to be recorded and then played by this TMZ network, you know, so everybody can hear it. But, you know, black folks aren't surprised. Just like the comments by Clive and Bundy, and don't you think he's glad that Sterling came along? Just like the comments by Clive and Bundy about, let me tell you about the Negro. I mean, you know, white people are surprised not that that's being said, but that it's being said openly. That's where the surprise comes in. But it's just astonishing to me, being the cynic that I am, watching the white sports press and the black sports press. I mean, I get the feeling that the black sports writers kind of go along with this, but the subtext of what they had to say is, why are you people so surprised? I mean, come on. This is a white man who owns a bunch of, using Clive and Bundy's words, a bunch of Negroes, and they go play ball for him. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm lost here. Maybe it's because I'm not a professional sports fan. But this whole thing, today, wall-to-wall coverage, you could not turn on a cable news channel, at least the two that I would check in with occasionally, to see what's happening with the global climate change and Putin and the U.S. and the Chinese. And, you know, no! I get to hear more about this half-assed Donald Sterling. Why is this a surprise? And when can we move off the billionaire bigots and their little play toy sports teams and focus on the starvation, damn near, the intellectual starvation? If you want to focus on race, what about people of color, kids of color in this country? What about substandard schools in neighborhoods that are predominantly black or predominantly Latino? What about that? Where's the outrage for that? I would say to all of the people on all of the networks, all of the big-time anchors, all of the big-time show hosts, all the big-time writers, who in the all day today, all you people did was sit there and masturbate on national television about, oh, my God, a billionaire sports team owner said bad things. I know, I shouldn't get all screamy like this, right? Frank Bruni, writing in the New York Times, points out a couple of things. You know, Sterling was due to receive an NAACP honor, another honor from the NAACP in Los Angeles. NAACP is kind of stuff. Because they kept giving this son of a bitch awards. They knew his background. This is not the first time. Good Lord. Sterling had been sued repeatedly for racial discrimination. And he put an end to one case, which accused him of trying to eject minority tenants from apartments. He's also a slumlord. With a multi-million dollar settlement that was among the highest or largest payouts ever of its kind. A former property supervisor of his in sworn testimony said that Sterling even fumed that black tenants were smelly and dirty and that Mexican ones were lazy and drunk. And the NAACP knows this. If I know it, if Frank Bruni know it, they knew it. But they continue to give him awards. Why? I'll tell you why. Money. You're goddamn right. Money. Money. As long as Sterling paid off all these different groups. They turned a blind eye. Oh, sorry. What? You're what? You said what? Ooh. Well, never mind. Just write the check. Jesus. Just like the Koch brothers. Jane Mayer. In New Yorker magazine, in 2010, New Yorker, Jane Mayer noted that David Koch had given tens of millions of dollars to cancer research and had also, unsurprisingly, received a seat on the National Cancer Advisory Board and the Excellence in Corporate Leadership Award from the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. Meanwhile, is involved in aggressive lobbying to stop the EPA from, among other things, classifying formaldehyde, which his company makes, as a known carcinogen. When are we going to go on to the Koch brothers? But as long as they can afford to pay these big sums of money, nobody's going to say anything. So to the NAACP in Los Angeles, I'll just say this. Shame on you. This is partly your fault. This is, why were you given this bastard awards? Why was there an award planned this week? You know what his history was. Get out of town.
Incidentally, that it was a cut off every once in a while on that recording. I have this problem with satellite recording sometimes. It's not me editing it. It simply drops out for a half second. So that's the reason for that. But anyhow, I mean, now you didn't hear him talking about white, poor white kids that are all over the country, and Appalachia too, and all the big cities and everything. You didn't hear him talk about that. And of course, when the Jew boy Sterling says that these housing developments with the Mexicans and blacks in them stink like hell, well, they do. I mean, they dump their garbage and the whole bit, and not all of them, but a hell of a lot of them live in filth. And but he was making lots of money off of them too. So anyhow, but the hypocrisy, and that's worth always pointing out, of the rich and the powerful is unbelievable. You know, like I said, they're whining, all these congressmen whining about sexual assault on a campus, and you know that there's congressmen, you see it in the news, that are perverts and child molesters and everything else and rapists, and they get on there and beat their chests. I mean, you know, the corruption is so high in this country, it takes wings to stay above it. And that's why this mess is gradually going to fall. It won't be able to sustain itself. I mean, every system has some corruption. It's just the way it goes. But when corruption reaches the level that it's reaching in this country, it's time. It's time. So just bide your time, boys and girls. Don't let the right wing get you to run out and join some damn screwed up militia that will condemn you if you say you're racist, because all those militias out there, they're for red, white, and blue. I'm for the United States, and I hate any of the Klansmen and Nazis and any racists. We don't want them around, so anyhow. And they're claiming, of course, they've got all these thousands of people in these militias. That's all bullshit. We went through that back in the 80s. You know, they'll get five or six, half a dozen guys and run around the woods and claim they got 100 or 200 guys, you know. So anyhow, that's that. You know, it's almost amusing, but it shouldn't be, that, you know, I put the news on about the veterans down in Phoenix dying waiting on services with the VA. And they kept it secret down there. And there's probably hundreds more that are going to be sacrificed. And I put it out about 2 weeks ago, at least, I think. And so the American Legion, that is the forefront of protecting the veterans, finally gets around to talking about it. And there's another phony operation, the American Legion, of which I just resigned from not too long ago, because they still want to expose the depleted uranium poisoning problem. And so the people don't even realize that the suicides are way up, of course. That has to do with this PTSD and this uranium poisoning. And also the guys that go off and shoot a whole bunch of people or burn their house down or something. Most of those cases are people who are infected with this depleted uranium. But they're not concerned about it. Maybe behind the scenes they're trying to do something, but like a group like the American Legion won't get behind it at all. Well, there's a group that has a periodical called the Collegian. They come out with what they call tear-wrenching movies that they recommend, one of them is American History X. And the movie might have been before its time when it originally released, but it still tugs at the viewer's heartstrings today. As the movie continues, people get invested in the characters and how their lives went terribly wrong. Although the conversation about race is coming from a prospective neo-Nazi rather than a person of color, this movie brings unique and incredible insight into the race conversion. Well, the progressive didn't quite understand, I guess, that the movie actually, the best parts of the movie, supported our theories. Yeah. And in the end, the guy who originally was fighting black crime and the whole bit, and then goes to prison, and he runs into one black kid that he gets along with in prison like there's something, like no white separatist ever got along with a black person, you know. And he comes out a liberal. And at the end of the movie, his younger brother gets killed by the niggers, the Negroes, people of color. No, the messages were all there, and they actually supported our point of view as far as I'm concerned. Obviously, they had people giving speeches in the movie, like this Jew teacher that was dating the mother of the star of the film, and he gives his big speech. But the main, the most graphic parts of American History X proved our point, actually. Yeah. And then they said Crash. Now, I don't remember Crash. I know I've seen it. Or I think I've seen it. Crash follows the lives of different Los Angeles residents as they face issues of race, loss, and redemption. This movie brings together diverse and different ethnic backgrounds, racial backgrounds, and glimpses at the discrimination each faces, while some discrimination shown as blatant physical violence, verbal discrimination, microaggressions, and racially driven crimes are also highlighted throughout this feature-length film. I don't think I did see this. While many issues of race are covered throughout the film, as the lead characters' plot lines are all intertwined, the conclusion makes the audience members question everything. Crash provides insight into different types of discrimination against different groups of people while finding yourself crying at the end. It's a moving film. Well, I'm sure I would have seen it in a much different light than they did. Then they go into Gran Torino with Clint Eastwood. And I thought it was a pretty good movie. I thought it was pretty straight. Milk, a biographical film about the first openly gay politician voted into office by the citizens. Oh, that was Harvey Milk in San Francisco. And what was his name? Dick White? Bob White? Went in, blew him away, and then blew the mayor, Moscone, away. And then beat the case on the Twinkie defense. I don't think any white man's got that big a break in a long time. Dallas Buyers Club, they like that too. It was a weepy movie. It's, you know, whites are guilty, non-whites are always picked on. I Am Sam, they like that one. I don't know, I never saw it. Pay It Forward. Well, I like that movie. I didn't see it so much as racial mixing. There was some in it, but I didn't pay much attention to it. I thought Paying It Forward is a good idea, but I'd rather see you do it from white persons to white persons, deserving white persons. I don't believe in giving undeserving white persons anything any more than I would a black gang member or something like that. You just got to write off a lot of white people. And if you get all, if you're all excited about supporting all white people, then you're going to be screwed. It's too late for that kind of stuff. It always was too late for that stuff. You got to pick your white people very carefully. That's the way it is. Well, here's an interesting article about, it's over in Britain, and it says, why do Labour and the left hate the British working class? Mass immigration is transforming the fabric of our society on an epic scale. You think? Only this week, if it is revealed that Britain takes in 1 in 5 of all migrants in Europe. In 2011, that represents an astonishing total of 566,000 new arrivals, by far the largest influx anywhere in the EU. The real impact of change could even be greater, for the official statistics ignore the vast amount of illegal immigration that occurs through our poorest borders. The Tory-led coalition might be dealing with the problem ineffectually, but the real responsibility for the immigration disaster lies with the last Labour government. Labour ministers embarked on a vast program of social engineering as British passports, student visas, and welfare entitlements and work permits were dished out like confetti. The superficial justification for this gigantic demographic racial experiment was that it would boost our economy and the public finances. In other words, follow the money. But that has proved to be nonsense. Soaring levels of immigration have driven Britain into permanent economic crisis, weighed down by unprecedented debts, falling living standards, mass unemployment, and intolerable burden on our public infrastructure. In practice, mass immigration has amounted to a gross betrayal of the British people, i.e. white people, particularly the working class, white working class, who have borne the brunt of this catastrophically misguided policy. Yet the fashionable metropolitan elitists have developed a contemptible habit of sneering at the British working class while extolling the virtues of diligent migrants. In their political correct narrative, ordinary Britons are portrayed as lazy, feckless, unskilled, and greedy in comparison with the heroic, wonderful, cheap new workers from Eastern Europe and Africa and Asia. We are constantly told that we should be grateful to the migrants, invaders, who do the jobs that the British won't. Among smug, self-styled liberals, mass immigration has become a vehicle for explicit snobbery. Wait a minute here. Okay, where was I? Oh, so the newspaper columnist, Yasmin Alabayaya Brown, who's not even white, who likes to pose as a champion of progressive thought, grandly dismisses the always wretched and complaining classes and claims that the taxpaying invaders, past and present, keep indolent British scroungers on their couches drinking beer and watching TV. Mrs. Alabani Brown would not dream of indulging in such stereotyping of any other social group, but this kind of abuse is typical of the self-styled sophisticates. Now, it's interesting that the other day I did this interview with Majority Rights, and I got the impression when I said, you know, it's all over for England. If they don't rise up and drive these people out physically, and I could tell that the person that was interviewing me didn't agree with that and wanted to proceed in the political manner that they've been proceeding in and failing for decades. And so that attitude bewildered me, because England's such a small country, and it's just, you know, 500,000 people a year legally coming in, and then all these others illegally coming in, and you're saying, oh, he said, oh, it'll be 15 years till we can try to straighten it out. I said, you won't exist as a white race in Britain in 15 years. Quote, what is extraordinary is that Labour and the political left used to see the advantage of the working class rights as their primary duty. But now, in their blind adherence to the creed of diversity, they've become the brutal enemies of the working classes who find their talents derided and their heritage traduced. where once the working classes were seen as the backbone of Britain, admired for the patriotism and respectability and solidarity, now those values are turned against them. Similarly, its zeal to create a multicultural society, the left is determined to wipe out all sense of tradition and national identity. British history had to be revised, rethought, jettisoned, declared the Labour government's Committee on the Future of Multi-Ethnic Britain in 2000, while the following year, Labour Foreign Secretary Robert Cook described Britain as nothing more than a gathering of countries, countless different races and communities, the vast majority of which were not indigenous to these islands. Cook's statement was a travesty of the truth. Far from being a nation of immigrants, as Cook absurdly claimed, Britain was, until recently, one of the most homogeneous nations on earth. One reason why it was so well ordered and successful. In 1940, when we experienced our finest hour in defeating the German tyranny, there were just 238,000 foreigners in Britain, less than half the number of arrivals here in 2011 alone. It is just a big lie to pretend that all invaders are hardworking people from migrant communities are far more likely than indigenous population to be unemployed, living in social housing, or claiming benefits. According to the Office of National Statistics, the jobless rate for ethnic minority men is twice that for white men, while 80% of the Bangladeshi and Pakistani women do not work. The derision for the working class is just as profoundly misplaced. If they are useless, as elitists pretend them, how on earth did they help build one of the greatest nations in the world has ever seen, long before the modern era of mass immigration and invasion? We had a flourishing NHS, successful industries, and globally admired public services. Tony Blair, a key architect of the drive towards race mixing and invasion, once said with characteristic pomposity, "Let's leave the past to those who live in it." The Britain of the past was a much stronger, more cohesive country before we inflicted such irreversible damage. Tony Blair and most of those who staffed his cabinets and ministries, along with the majority of the PC crowd who dominate the UK's mass media, must be arrested, charged with treason, and found guilty. Now we're getting someplace. The worst of these, the Blairs, the Browns, the Harmons, the Straws, the Mendelsons, the Haynes, and Alabama Browns, should be executed. Now, that sounds much better to me than what I was hearing from majority rights. To be perfectly honest, they need to take this thing and bring it to blood, sweat, and tears. Oh, well, the guy said, they'll never rise up. Well, I said, if they don't rise up, they're dead. Same way in this country. If sooner or later our race doesn't rise up physically, we are dead. I see they had another article in this particular newspaper, whatever it is, that asks, is the British royal family secretly Jewish? And I'm not going to go through it, but I think that a very strong case can be made, and this article makes that connection. Maybe I'll lift it and send it out to you, that they sure as hell don't look as Aryan as I would like to see. Now, some of the princes look better, and at least they're marrying some Aryan women, but the queen and her husband and a lot of those people look a little ragged to me. Well, that's about it for today, boys and girls. Don't forget 14-5 and shut up. I'll be back with you tomorrow on... Wait a minute, what is today? This is Tuesday, right? Be back with you on Wotan's Day, David Lane's favorite day. 14-5.